Following morning, after Jesus and his soaking wet disciples made it to Capernaum on the other side of the lake. You know, all the excitement of chapter 6 happens over the course of about 36 hours. It's pretty crazy. So let's start at verse 22 in chapter 6, and we'll see how John sets this next story up. This is pretty cool. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they'd eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. Okay, if you remember last week, Jesus wanted his disciples to leave the area near Bethsaida where he fed the 5,000 and head back to Capernaum without him. He told them he was going to go back up the mountain by himself after he dismissed the crowds. We know that from Matthew's gospel. So the next day, a lot of folks go back to where Jesus had fed them the day before because they think he's still there because they never saw him leave. But when they get there, no Jesus. Which is weird because there was only one boat there yesterday. And they all saw Jesus put his disciples in that boat and send them away. So now they're wondering, where's Jesus? Don't know. You think maybe he walked home last night? Not sure, but that's as good a guess as any. And home for Jesus at this time is Capernaum. They know that because Jesus is one of them. He is the prophet like Moses who God promised to raise up from them, who lived among them, right? That's what they said in verse 14. So they all piled in the boats and they went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. Some of them probably thought, you know, when we find Jesus, I want to ask him just where he went to last night. Because they don't know about that wild scene on the lake, do they? No, they don't. And they're not going to know because some miracles are public. They're for the world to see, where others are much more personal. They're not meant for public consumption. There will be times in your life when God gives you something that is between you and him. Just you and him. Other folks won't understand it, and to try to convince them just corrupts the good gift that you have been given. And so when the crowd finds Jesus and his friends in Capernaum, they ask him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And verse 26 gives us Jesus' answer. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. Okay, so if you notice, Jesus doesn't really answer their question. They wanted to know when he got there. And by implication, they want to know why he came there. But instead of telling them that, Jesus tells them why they came there. Which is such a Jesus move, isn't it? That's totally something we could see him doing. Let's not waste time with pleasantries or small talk or you asking me questions that aren't really any of your business. Instead, let me tell you the reason you're asking me that question. And now their heads are starting to hurt. And y'all, that might seem a little snarky on Jesus' part, like he didn't get enough sleep last night, so he's kind of ill. I mean, he was up pretty late. But y'all, Jesus says what he says for the benefit of the people who ask the question. Sometimes knowing why we ask the questions we do teaches us more than the answer to those questions. Jesus wants them to know why they asked him when he got there. Now, it would have been a lot easier for Jesus just to say, last night, and keep on walking, right? But he doesn't do that, because that doesn't help them. I would do that, but not Jesus. He is showing them how small their thinking is. He wants them to think about more than just their next meal. Jesus knows that most of them, not all, but most of them, are not in Capernaum because they believe. They're in Capernaum because their life is hard. Providing for your family is hard. If Jesus can provide bread for them, like Moses provided manna for the Israelites in the wilderness, well, then they can just hitch their wagon to Jesus and let him do all the hard stuff. And honestly, I can't get mad at them for doing that. Why would they not want to do that? Don't we do that? I think we do. Plus, it's not like Jesus doesn't want to provide for them. He does. Just like he wants to provide for all of us. But he also wants them to believe. Just like he wants all of us to believe and to trust him and to follow him so we don't neglect spiritual nourishment while we pursue the physical nourishment. That's why he tells them not to just work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which he says the Son of Man will give to them because he wants to give it to them. He wants them to have this, just like he wants all of us to have that. Jesus is willing to give, and he's able to give. He just needs them to be willing to believe, just like he needs us to be willing to believe. Y'all, we don't have to be able, because Jesus is able, amen? We just need to be willing to believe. The crowd in John 6 was willing to work, but not willing to believe. They went through a lot of trouble to find Jesus, y'all. But now that they found him, instead of saying, "Rabbi, we've never seen anything like what you did yesterday. We believe in you, Jesus. You are the one our people have been waiting for, Jesus." No, they don't say that. Instead of saying that, they just ask him, "So, when'd you get here? Hey, you got any more of that bread?" Right? I mean, Jesus sees that they're willing to work. He knows how far it is from Bethsaida to Capernaum. And a lot of them probably traveled it on foot because not everybody had access to a boat. And now they're here because they want something from Jesus, which is fine. That's okay. But they're asking for the wrong things. They're asking him the wrong questions because their minds are only on material things and not on spiritual things. And so in response to Jesus' non-answer, they say, "Okay, Jesus, so tell us what we need to do. What must we do to be doing the works of God?" That's verse 28. But unlike the first question, Jesus answers this question. He wants to answer this question. He says, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." And y'all, that response is so simple and it's so perfect that it probably tripped them up because they're still clueless about everything. And so they cannot see that Jesus' non-answer to their first question was to get them to ask this question. Jesus knows their hearts, just like he knows yours. And so, yeah, he set them up. He kind of had to, because he knows the lenses that they're seeing all of this through, and so he frames the conversation to fit their lenses. They want to know what they can do to get more of what they want. So Jesus gets them to ask him this question so he can color his answer in a way that they'll understand. He told them, "Don't work for that. Work for this." And they're like, "Okay, cool. How do we do that kind of work, Jesus?" He says, "Oh, it's simple. This is the work of God, that you believe in whom he has sent." Now, they get the connection Jesus is making between the Father and himself. I think they get that. But unfortunately, that's as far as they get. Look at verse 30. "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform, Jesus?" But wait, it gets worse. Look at verse 31. "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." I mean, you can't make this up, right? You know, I want to be mad at them or make fun of them, but I can't because I'm just like them. They want Jesus. I really believe that. But like so many of us today, they only want Jesus because they want Him to do things for them. And I can't get mad at them for that. I mean, if you saw what they saw, why would you not ask Jesus for that? Sometimes I think we're a little too critical of biblical folks. Like somehow we're more enlightened and we would not make the same bonehead decisions they did. Which is kind of silly. I mean, their question in verse 28 is fine. But the questions they ask in verse 30 reveal just how hard their hearts really are. Jesus told them they need to trust and believe, not just work and try to earn. But they still think that if Jesus would just tell them what they can do to make God happy, that they can handle that. They think that they can obey God on their own and they can please God on their own. They just need Jesus to tell them how. And their hearts are so hard, y'all. They don't even realize that Jesus just did. He told them, believe in whom He has sent. Anybody ever gone to Jesus and tried to negotiate? No, not y'all. How's it go? Jesus, if you do this, I promise I'll do that. Or Jesus, if you do this, I promise I'll stop doing that. It's usually one of the two, right? Well, another way you could say that is, Jesus, what sign do you do that I may see and believe you? The crowds in John 6 aren't trusting Jesus. They're negotiating. And honestly, I can't get mad at them for that. Because I've done the same thing. And I'm sure I'll do that again at some point in the future. Because that old flesh is still in there, right? He's still trying to earn God's favor and trying to mitigate the damage from his bad choices. He's always going to be in there. But Jesus, who is so patient and is so kind, He just wants to push all that nonsense to the side. He just wants to pull me close and love me through my reckless stupidity. Which is what He does for the crowd in verse 32. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Y'all see what Jesus is doing there, right? He's pursuing them. He just keeps asking them to believe, keeps asking them to believe in Him. He doesn't chastise them for what they said. He doesn't beat them up because they asked the wrong questions. That's the kind of stuff we do, not Jesus. He knows what it's like to be us because He was one of us, right? He was one of us. He knows how hard life is. He also knows that life will break all of us at some point, and some of us at many points along the way. He knows that. So He patiently waits for us, and He reminds us, and He draws us, and He allows life to do what life does so that hopefully we realize that there is much, much more than just this life. There is a purpose behind everything that life does, and that purpose is to push us towards Jesus. The people in John 6 saw what they saw so that by seeing, they would believe. That's what Jesus told them in verse 26. That was the purpose of that. And that's all Jesus is asking them to do now. He's not asking them to work for it or try to earn it. He's just asking them to believe. But you have to believe with all of you, not just your belly. And after He tells them all that, verse 34 happens. They said to Him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And as much as I want to, I can't get mad at them because I do the same thing. Jesus, I have a problem. And the only thing that matters in this moment is that problem. So Jesus, fix that problem And then maybe we can talk about these other things. Anybody else? Oh, you're a bunch of liars. Okay, cool. Maybe it's just me. All right. Y'all, the folks in John 6 are just like us. They're just like us. What I want right now, what I think I need right now, is where all my attention goes. That's where all my energy goes. If down the road this all works out or that all falls into place, then I'll consider these crazy things that Jesus says. Me first, then Jesus. So he tells the crowd in verse 35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Y'all, I love this. Because Jesus is like, fine, you want to talk about bread? Let's talk about bread. I am the bread of life. Not the bread that satisfies your little rumbly tumblies, okay? I'm the bread that restores your soul. The bread that literally gave you life and now wants to give you abundant life. He says in 36, you have seen me. You've seen me. But you don't believe. In other words, you ask what sign I do, you ask what you can do, you ask for more bread, and I'm telling you, you've already seen the sign. You've already seen it. I've already told you what you must do. Believe in whom He has sent. Everything they want, everything they need is right there, but they will not believe. And it breaks Jesus' heart that they won't believe because of what he tells them in verse 37. He says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Praise Jesus. He will never cast us out. As bad as they drive him crazy, Jesus still wants them. As bad as you drive him crazy. And me this morning, he still wants y'all. Every one of you. He wants you for two reasons. The first reason is he loves you. He loves you. It's really no more complicated than that. We like to complicate things, right? For Jesus, it's all pretty simple. He loves you. He loves you. And the second reason is, because Jesus knows where you will go if you do not belong to Him. We think we know. He's certain He knows. And because of that, He was willing to leave His Father's side and be born into this life the same way we are and live this unfair and unbalanced life just like we do. To suffer like we should and die like we deserve so He could offer us a choice. A choice to live for Him here so we can live with Him there. That's the choice. A place where the bread never runs out and the wine never stops flowing. Why would He do all of that for you? You go back to reason one. Because He loves you. It's like he told him in verse 40, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So not only will death not be the end of you, but you'll get to watch Jesus put death to death. You will be there by His side when the last great enemy of God's human family is forever extinguished. That's the choice. Now, today is Communion Sunday here at Legacy, which is pretty perfect considering our text this morning. The Lord's Supper is a memorial that we look back on, but it also points ahead. It points to a promised day for all who belong to Him, when we will all feast with Him in His kingdom. The bread represents His body broken for humanity. The juice represents His blood, which was spilled out to pay for the sins of all people. Now, you don't need to be a member of Legacy to partake of this Lord's Supper, but you do need to belong to Him. You need to be a follower, someone who has looked upon the Son and believed in Him and been given eternal life. And when you come to this table, please come knowing that you will never be cast out. So we have a video that's going to play. Take all the time you need, and when you're ready, come to His table.